We know that physicians like to learn by case studies. We had the opportunity to meet Norma Jean, a patient of Dr. Tracy. Norma Jean was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation over 17 years ago. As you'll see, she's had quite a journey, seeing several different doctors before she was finally taken seriously and treated.
My husband and I have been married 50 years. We have two children, and we have four grandchildren. It's our greatest joy to have everybody here for a meal. Family times are very important to me.
Cheers! Hey, baby.
I was first diagnosed with atrial fib in 1994. I was 55 years old. I felt like my heart was beating really fast, and I knew it was irregular, and I felt like a fluttering in my chest. Before this episode, I had had occasional skip beats, and I was concerned about it. And the family doctor I was going to at that time said, "Don't worry about it." I trusted the doctor, but down deep I felt like maybe this was going to turn into something. The family doctor felt like it probably was not a big problem because so many people go through the very same situation and it doesn't amount to anything. I had no complaint with him, although I was kind of frustrated that it would still happen. Sometimes he would give me a medication that would work for maybe a few weeks, and then I would have relapses. And truthfully, those times were probably the times I had the most anxiety. Where will I be when it happens again? And the cardiologist felt sure that eventually we would find a medication that would control the rate. I remained under his care for probably about 6 months. The second cardiologist was a little bit more aggressive, so he increased the dosage of one of my medications. I kind of got tired of hearing that. Just give the medication a little longer. I just wanted to get to the bottom of it. And I just kind of felt like that's the way my life was going to be. It's just, how can you find the words to, you just, it does make you angry. Because you just don't know what to plan on. My cardiologist said, "I would like to send you to someone who is an arrhythmia specialist." And he said, "I'd like you to go and see Cynthia Tracy."
Hi. Norma Jean was undertreated when she first came to me. It was hard for her to get people to initially to take it seriously, to say this is not just your nerves that are making you feel this way, but there is something physically happening to you.
Why don't you lie back down and then I'll listen up front and we'll do the check too.
It's pretty common for us to see patients that haven't been adequately treated or undertreated. Just because it's not picked up, it's not recognized, or the root cause isn't gotten to. We went through the whole progression of different types of treatments. We started out with simple rate control, suppression of the premature beats. It has been a roller coaster, and that's often true for patients with this condition. For Norma Jean, there was a lot of anxiety.
I was miserable. I was tired. We would go for a walk and could hardly make it back home. I had very little endurance, so I was pretty discouraged at that point.
We've been working together to get the situation under control for more than a decade. Undertreatment in AFib is a very dangerous thing. So it was at that point that we had to make a decision about what the next step would be.
Good job.
She is a case study in all of the things that can happen with atrial fibrillation. She went through all the different treatment modalities that we have to finally come up with this point in time, a good solution for her. She's doing great.
I have so much more energy to do the things that I enjoy doing. One thing I'm really grateful for is that I'm able to enjoy my grandchildren. It has been completely life-changing.
Oh, nice. So Norma Jean is really a great patient, illustrates a number of different points. She really was undertreated for a long period of time, not really getting her underlying issues addressed, not managing her arrhythmia aggressively enough. She went through everything over the course of several years. She went through rate control. She went through rhythm control with a variety of different antiarrhythmics. And finally, at one point, we decided, let's do a pulmonary vein isolation and try to control the heart rhythm with that. We did the first one, and it worked for a period of time. Then it didn't. We went back, and we did a second pulmonary vein isolation. And again, it worked for a little while, but then she had recurrent symptoms. After a lot of discussion with the patient, we decided that we would go ahead and ablate the AV node and put in a permanent pacemaker. And in order to try to optimize and continue her in a normal functional state, we put in a biventricular pacemaker that would pace both the right and left ventricle, that way keeping the heart in sync so that it would function most optimally. And that, at that point, that worked out very well for her. The other thing I like about Norma Jean is that she reflects this real concept that you just have to keep going. You just have to keep working until you come up with the right thing. So something might work for a little while and then stop working, and then you have to have something else. You have to be able to move on to the next step. And it really is driven by the patient's symptoms, taking into account their physiology, what's going on, why it's going on, and really working with that person until you come to a satisfactory condition. There's an old adage in medicine, the more you fail, the more you fail. So you just have to keep going.
I would just add that the management of her was really beautiful in the sense that she had a tremendous journey. And it's a journey when a patient has atrial fibrillation, because their course changes throughout, and treatments can be effective at certain points and then become ineffective, and you try different options and she responds, but then she doesn't respond. This is a very good case to illustrate what I think is maybe a very typical patient. I think she demonstrates that very nicely.
There have been significant changes in regards to treatment guidelines for atrial fibrillation. Summarize those guidelines. What do cardiologists need to know?
Well, the guidelines are very important because they provide guidance to the practicing clinician how to practice optimally. But they're not commandments, they're guidelines, and you have to use your own judgment. One of the most interesting areas and advances in the guidelines from 2011 involve antiarrhythmic agents. And so the patient populations have been divided into four different categories. Those patients with atrial fibrillation that do not have structural heart disease, those patients that have left ventricular hypertrophy, which is roughly defined, and those patients that have coronary disease with atrial fibrillation, and finally those patients that have varying degrees of heart failure with atrial fibrillation. So I know Cindy's been involved in generating these guidelines, as I have, and be interested in your comments.
I think it is very interesting, the development of the guidelines, because you do have to take into account a lot of the trials that have taken place in the medical literature and try to hone it down to something that becomes practical and understandable for the physicians that are out there taking care of these patients. So Mike has mentioned the it does help if you can categorize things, because it does narrow down what a treatment would be appropriate for in any individual patient. Something like amiodarone would be very appropriate for a patient with significant thickness of the heart muscle or hypertrophy or somebody with congestive heart failure. But as a starting drug for somebody with a structurally normal heart, it would not be appropriate. It would be a little bit too aggressive.
So what do you use in those patients?
The structurally normal heart?
Right.
I start simple. I try to correct whatever's underneath that might be causing some problems. I will often just use a drug like a calcium channel blocker or a beta blocker, especially if they're a hypertensive patient, to try to limit that stimulus for the atrial fibrillation. I tend to use a lot of other things like magnesium, but if it comes to my feeling that in this individual, such as somebody with the paroxysmal atrial fibrillation who feels horrible every time they pop in and out of the rhythm, then I'll use whatever it takes, basically. Flecainide, I might use propafenone. There might be a reason even for using a drug like Norpace, but I try to very much look at the patient and try those things first, but move on if we need to.
So one of the additions to the guidelines in 2011 was a newer drug called dronedarone, which is an amiodarone lookalike, but doesn't have many of the well-known side effects associated with amiodarone, and is an easier drug to use. But I think it's important to recognize that dronedarone should not be used in patients with heart failure, at least advanced heart failure, based on the Andromeda trial, which I thought was quite instructive. And we've learned recently that it should be limited to an Athena population, those patients that have paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, and should not be used in patients with chronic atrial fibrillation. Do you agree with that,
I do.
Mike?
I do. And I wanted to add in terms of the guidelines that they're constructed in such that it's the category, when we categorize patients and the drug options that are generally recommended, it's based upon safety as opposed to efficacy. So a drug that may be safe in one population may not be safe in another, and that's what you were speaking of with the advanced heart failure and dronedarone. You would not want to use that in that type of patient, but it's perfectly fine in the paroxysmal patients with a structurally normal heart.
Right.
So.
Or patients with coronary disease.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Generally, what I do in patients that have atrial fibrillation, in whom you want to embark on a rhythm strategy, that I give them a trial run of either amiodarone or dronedarone or both, and then if it fails, then refer them to one of you two guys for an ablation, which I think is indicated in selected patients.
My strategy is very similar in that I actually very much like the guideline flowchart, looking at the category, the type of patients that you're dealing with, and then first line therapy, if you're choosing a rhythm control strategy, an antiarrhythmic drug, and then if that were to fail, then consider a catheter-based ablation.
Right.
That's generally my strategy too.
Right. Yeah.